Each day this week, we're going to be bringing you one of our masterpieces where we ask an Australian artist to share with us the piece of art that means most to her or him. Now, Darren Hanlon's masterpiece was the very first we ever recorded, actually. Darren, as you might already know, is one of Australia's best travelling singer-songwriters. He makes his way around Australia and indeed around the world, picking up stories and songs to share with his hungry and devoted audience. Here's Darren Hanlon's masterpiece.
Well, today I would like to talk about the movie Wake in Fright. It's a lost Australian classic from the 70s. There's been a lot spoken and written about this film, but I came to it probably before it got rediscovered. A few people had told me about it. There were the various copies floating around. I think Jay Katz found a copy from an American drive-in and showed it at the Annandale. And then I saw it also when they played it at the Chevelle. When they found the original negative, they wanted to preserve it, so they played it for one night only, and it was a sold-out session. They had all different people that had worked on the film speaking about it, and it just became legend. I was there with a lot of friends and a lot of people, and it was the first time for a lot of us. I remember the excitement after the film. You know, we all went to the pub across the road, and everyone wanted a beer, that's for sure. But people were just so excited that this film existed, and something that we were really proud of, this Australian film that we're proud that was made. It spoke to me because I spend a lot of time going out to these outback towns of Australia, whether it be to write or to play shows. I'm fascinated with the Australian town, and unfortunately a lot of them are dying, you know, because of industry moves towards the coast. And once upon a time there was a lot more industry out there. Broken Hill, though, where the movie was set, it still has mining, you know, it still survives on mining, who knows for how long. But yeah, I've met these characters. I've met people that it was just amazing that you see these characters on film and they can just remind you. You don't think they're acting. It seemed like a bit of a documentary to me. The film's about a school teacher that is stationed. He's an apprentice, so he gets stationed out there. He's heading home to Sydney and dreaming of Bondi Beach and his girlfriend waiting for him. And he gets to Broken Hill, which is called the Yabba. And he gets involved with the locals and loses his money and gets stranded. It's all about his involvement and his slow downward spiral. It's really hard to become a local out there. I think you have to almost live there for 20 years. I think Broken Hill still has this weird grading system. A grade means you're born there. C grade means you've moved there and you don't want to leave. And then if a C marries an A, you become a B. Yeah. Was originally a book by Kenneth Cook, and I think he was a journalist out there, and he based a lot of the characters in his book on real people that he met, which probably why it rings true as well. It was Chips Rafferty's last film, and he was born in Broken Hill, and it was Jack Thompson's first. When I first went to Broken Hill in the 90s to ask about the film, no one wanted to speak about it. I took a little dictaphone out and wanted to interview the locals, and I didn't find one single person that would talk to me about it. They were ashamed of it. Everyone wanted to talk about Mad Max, and even Priscilla, people were still a little bit weird about that. And I think it's slowly become this kind of this you know, object of pride out there now. Like maybe it's I don't know what it is, but I think people maybe realize in what high regard people consider this film now. So, but back then, yeah, you couldn't. People would just say it's a bunch of rubbish. I believe, and this is just from articles that I've read, that that it was just, it was maybe, you know, popular in the cities, and then in the country, they turned their back on it, and that's probably why it was just overlooked, and it went missing. And it's still shot. There's still scenes that are shocking today. I played it in New York for a bunch of friends, and I forgot to warn them about the kangaroo slaughter scene, and people were nearly throwing up. I felt really bad. I felt like I'd lost a few friendships in that by showing it. So it is shocking. It's still shocking. There was some friends of mine that were at the showing, and they were in a band called the Magnetic Fields. They had a movie. There was a documentary about their band that was playing at the San Francisco Film Festival, so they all flew over there for that. And just randomly, they were sat at a table with the director, Ted Kotcheff, and my friend Claudia from the Magnetic Field said, "Did you happen to make Wake in Fright?" And he apparently slammed his hands on the table and went, "Yes, how do you know about this? How do you know this film?" And she said, "Oh, a friend of ours played it in New York 2 weeks ago." And he said, "Who is this?" And she thought he was going to get angry because I'd played it without, you know, kind of illegally. And he said, I want his email address. So he emailed me out of the blue. And so suddenly I have this email from Ted Kotcheff asking why I played Wake in Fright. And I just wrote this long email back telling him how much it meant to me. And I've spent a lot of time in Broken Hill and what buildings are still there and which ones aren't. And so next time I went to New York, he asked if he could take me out to lunch, and I was like, "Of course." So he's a producer on a TV show over there, so I met him at the studios and he took me out to a fancy lunch, and he basically didn't stop for breath. I guess there's not a lot of people he can talk to about Wake in Fright because a lot of his, you know, American friends probably don't know the film. At that time it had never played in New York, so he just wanted to talk. So he just told me endless stories. He thinks it's his most perfect film. I think the legend behind it is something that makes it even more special. The story of the film after it was made, you know, is amazing that it almost got, you know, completely lost. It was in a canister somewhere that was destined for destruction. It had some sticker on it saying, you know, this is to be disposed of, and they just found it a couple of weeks before that happened. So I think that the legend of it makes it pretty amazing, and I just don't think it doesn't have a peer, you know, that film. There's no other films that kind of speak to Australians that they can recognize. It's like looking in a mirror, I think, for a lot of people. For nothing else, it's a really entertaining film. I can just watch it over and over. It's one of those movies. There's probably, you know, probably everyone has five or so films in their life that they can just watch over and over, and you'll still see something new. There's so much detail in it. And I just think it's just a perfectly made film. It's a great story. It's and it says a lot about Australia.
Oh, isn't that a great soundtrack? Darren Hanlon there talking about Wake in Fright, the 1971 film directed by Ted Kotcheff, based on the book by Kenneth Cook. You're on Books and Arts. I'm Melanie Tate. And coming up shortly, films turning into musicals. What are your thoughts on that? We're going to hear about one in just a moment.